following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Domino's $5.99 carry-out pizza deal. So amazing, we can't even talk about it on the air.
Sure we can. It's our large, inspired pizza with any two toppings for just $5.99.
It's a price so low, we can't even say it out loud.
I just did. It's $5.99.
We're not even allowed to think about this limited-time offer.
Is this how you really talk?
Yes.
Backed by popular demand, it's Domino's $5.99 carry-out pizza deal. This week only, get a large pizza with any two toppings of your choice for just $5.99. Now through September 9th, only at Domino's.
Carry-out only. Deep dish may be extra. You must ask for this limited-time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit qualification. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insights from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, from ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Yeah, I'm going to say it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it. How about them Cowboys? Yee-haw!
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Spencer Schubert, my co-host today from NTV. And ladies and gentlemen, Nebraska State Fair grape stomping champion. Congratulations, man.
Why, thank you, sir. I trained very hard. I'd like to thank, first off, my parents and... them putting up with all my training. No, it was fun. And, you know, to go out and beat Mr. State Fair Steve White himself in his own game, you got to take the credit for it.
But obviously, anytime you're a winner, then there is some credibility issues. There is some testing.
Yeah, especially if it's me.
Obviously some doping as you injected your feet to make them bigger. And hopefully all those tests come back, negative for
your sake. Right. The lieutenant governor was in there. We thought he was the dirtiest player to start the competition, but you know what? Nonetheless, it was fun.
I'm surprised he didn't try and stomp him with his head, because aren't all the politicians, big-headed? I don't know.
Yeah.
Football got it away last night with the Dallas Cowboys downing the New York Giants, looking pretty good doing it, and 24-17. Tony Romo, hopefully that kind of a year. You always overreact and underreact, and that's what everybody's doing, because there was one NFL game from last night. And don't put it past Dallas now traveling to the other coast and having a rough time with Seattle. I don't think that'll happen, but Dallas, first two games on the road, Giants first two games at home.
I just love that you go through an entire preseason, four games this year. They get the extra week off, so to speak. Tony Romo, he couldn't play. They didn't score. You look at the Jets not scoring a touchdown. You know what? A good team's going to be a good team when it's time for them to be a good team. And Tony Romo comes out. He throws three touchdown passes on my fantasy team. Thank you very much, Mr. Romo. He got me 25 points last night from the quarterback position when I didn't even get a quarterback, I might add, until about the fourth or fifth round, and I still got Romo. So 25 points out of week one, I'm happy with.
And we will be talking fantasy football at the end of the program today with Luke Hoover from RotoWire. So if you've got fantasy football questions, now that it's here, who do you play? Who's injured? Who do you set? Who's the hot guy? Who's the maybe you're already struggling. Email or Facebook us your questions. Facebook us to the Central Nebraska ESPN Facebook page, or you can email the Dent Popper inbox, home of the armor lining. Get your vehicle ready before winter rolls around. Doug and Daddy at ESPN.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Plus, coming up in the next segment, from the UCLA radio broadcast crew, analyst Matt Stevens, former UCLA quarterback, now with the analyst crew, radio crew with UCLA, and he will give us his thoughts on what UCLA looked like in the opener against Rice, the Jim Mora era, and as many people are saying, this is the vogue pick for upset this weekend, UCLA over Nebraska. And our crazy Buckeye fan, I believe this is maybe the first email from crazy Buckeye fan, says, here we go, another great year of football. Which game will be closer, the Buckeyes at home against Central Florida or Nebraska at UCLA? Being the Buckeye I am, I have been catching hell from all my Husker friends. The Buckeyes will, of course, cover. But I'm calling upset alert for the Huskers without Rex Burkhead. Would love to hear the reaction to this to fuel the fire for the Huskers. A Saturday loss to UCLA. Go Buckeyes. Wow.
Well, he's honest.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Everybody will be up in arms if Nebraska gets beat on Saturday.
And, I mean, Nebraska right now, everybody's on a high. Taylor Martinez, the new throwing motion. That's what everybody wants to talk about. Let's see how he does in California. I'm not going to say that Southern Miss was a fluff opponent to start the year, but let's just say UCLA will be a step up. I don't think Jim Moore is going to have that club come in and have three different quarterbacks that he's going to be thinking about. He's not going to have a defense that doesn't know what to look forward to. He's going to have his guys ready to go.
I'm not sure, and we'll find out more, but I'm not sure UCLA is more talented than Southern Miss.
Well, right now, UCLA is a team that kind of was on the bottom feeding part of the Pac-12 last year. I mean, let's not look past last season. They weren't a good team. That's why Jim Mora is there this year. They have a new coach for a reason. And you got to worry about, and we'll ask our guy this, but you got to worry about the NFL coach transition into the college game. You know, Nebraska didn't work out too well when we brought in Bill Callahan, if we need to bring that up. So is Jim Mora going to pass off well at UCLA? So far, so good, but they played Rice. You can't judge him off of playing Rice, and let's not forget to mention they gave up, what, 360 yards to Rice?
And Nebraska's got California boys that are going to want to do well. There'll be a good crowd there of Nebraska fans. Many people believing Nebraska fans will outnumber the UCLA fans, and all at the Rose Bowl on Saturday night. So there's a lot going on with it. And, of course, the gang out at NTV has a special pregame. You guys get to carry it on Fox with Charles Davis and Gus Johnson calling the action.
If only we could have Gus do our pregame for us. That'd be nice. But, no, Dave Greek, Steve White, they're both out in L.A. They're heading out today. Hopefully we get some coverage out there even tomorrow during our shows. But tune in a little bit early. It's on Fox. We'll have a pregame show and we'll have some interviews, maybe even get gushed. You never know.
All right, that's coming up. Hey, coming up on our show, as we said, Matt Stevens, UCLA, and Luke Hoover will be joining us as well to answer your fantasy football questions. I think a lot of people hear the passing of Art Modell today and just say, you start realizing what Art Modell did, not only for the NFL, but for the fans, what has now transpired to all this television coverage, the bargaining, the TV, the president of the league for 3 years. There's a good piece that Trey Wingo does on ESPN, so if you get a chance, you're going to want to check that out. Also, I like keeping up to date a little bit on all the major sports, whatever it is, and I don't mind the U.S. Open tennis. I don't mind tennis at all, and I think we've talked about that before. But Andy Roddick bows out last night to the 2009 champion Juan Martín Del Potro in four sets, officially retiring from the sport of tennis at the age of 30. I wonder if he's going to go straight into being an analyst, because I think he would do pretty good on television. Because you got to think he's going to pop up somewhere real soon.
Well, Roddick was, he's not exactly the hothead that McEnroe was in his day, but he was a guy that was a little bit more emotional on the court. So having that emotion, you almost want to see that on TV. That's why they got McEnroe doing what he does during the majors in tennis. So we'll see. And I wouldn't put it past to maybe have a Brett Favre-ish type of situation. When the guy's 30, he's still got some playing years left, and with how well he did here in the U.S. Open, I wouldn't be surprised if he maybe has a little Indian summer, so to speak, come back for a little bit more.
He just, I guess, came along at the wrong time. He was never the best player in the world. I think he may have been ranked number one for a short amount of time. Could you check that out, Jeff? How long, if at all? I think Andy Roddick was ranked number one in the world. Just kind of Sampras out, Federer in, kind of that tweener time. But he won one major, I guess you can say only one. He was in so many more but he just couldn't beat Roger Federer.
Yeah, and to be honest, he was kind of the pride and joy of the U.S. for so many years. I mean, you talk to guys like McEnroe, who's coached the U.S. team in a lot of the, you know, whether you go to the Olympics, whether you go
to Davis Cup.
It's one thing where the U.S., you got to think on the international level as well. We are losing essentially the best tennis player we got. I mean, you look at some of the other guys on the U.S. teams, it's thin. I mean, John Blake, I know he's been a guy that's come through for the U.S. a little bit, but all
Isner is going to be he's the highest ranked American right now, John Isner.
It's rough for U.S. tennis right now.
Who's really known for being tall and playing long matches more than anything else. What'd you find out?
Well, he was the youngest to ever be ranked number one back in 2003, but it was only in 2003, sort of like you said, he lost to Roger Federer, and then Roger Federer took over number one and then took it for
the next 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. But briefly there in 2003, he was. And that, I mean, he won the U.S. Open in 2003, so that makes sense. Mm.
I will buy you lunch if you can tell me who he beat in the finals of the U.S. Open.
This is tough. Oh. Give me a break to think.
I'll give you the whole show with no texting.
No texting. Hey, I won't text anybody, but anybody out there, if they want to text me, no. I'll think about it. I'll come up with a guess.
You got no chance. You got no chance. David Nalbandian.
Okay, yeah. Would have had no
chance of Argentina.
Didn't even know that was a guy.
Yeah, so there you go. Is that who he beat? Oh, that's who he beat in the semis.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you still wouldn't have got the finals. Yeah, you still wouldn't have got
the finals. Go ahead.
Juan Carlos Ferrero.
I've at least heard of that name. I wouldn't have come up with it. Yeah. I promise you that.
So there you go. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can always fire off an email to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Hey, congratulations to the Hastings Bronco volleyball team. They have a little something going here with some stability, hopefully, now in the coaching ranks. They come out and they upset 11th-ranked Doan in a hard-fought five-set victory last night. Kendra Swine leading the way for the Broncos as they pick up the five-set victory to go to 7-2. That's five straight victories. Doan, ranked 11th in the country in the NAIA, goes to 11-2. UNK will have their home opener tonight, St. Cloud State of Minnesota, 7 o'clock at the Health and Sports Center. It's the first of four games for the Lopers at their Fall Classic. Volleyball going on all day Friday and Saturday at the Health and Sports Center with Maryville, Northern State, 13th-ranked Minnesota State, all on hand. Loper soccer won last night. They're 2-1, maybe for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And they're going to get tested with Abilene. They're going to Missouri to play kind of a halfway point here with Abilene Christian out of Texas, who started the season ranked 7th in the country. And then also, I want to remind you, we got Loper football coming up on Saturday against Emporia State at 2. High school volleyball, plenty of it going on tonight. Kearney and Hastings live on Classic Hits 98.9. That'll get started somewhere between 7 and 7.30, hopefully, as it follows the JV game. But we'll have that for you. Kearney Catholic plays Adams Central. Central Catholic's got SCOTUS. A lot of duels tonight. Kind of some area matchups going on there. There are a couple of triangulars, including Wood River, Palmer, and Giltner hosting teams.
And, Doug, I want to bring up one thing with all these college teams doing well out of the gate in the fall that traditionally aren't too hot on their own field or court or whatever. Hastings College Volleyball 7-2. They started 0-2. Like you said, they've won the last five. That's a new coach. UNK Soccer, new coach. The team's 2-1. Hastings College Women's Soccer, now granted they were really good with Coach Flogaitis. They got Mark Heemans in now. They're still doing pretty solid. They've lost a little bit more than I think they won to this early in the year, but nonetheless.
The men and women, they both dropped their opening two matches, but they played top 11 teams. Mm-hmm. So some good competition out there and going down to the wire, one of them a double overtime game. So the men are home, the women on the road this weekend. The Nebraska baseball team has unveiled its schedule. Darren Erstad, he might have one of the tougher non-conference schedules. This is what stood out to me. Nebraska played 31 home games last year. Mm. 21 is all they're playing at home this year. 31 on the road, two neutral site games at TD Ameritrade, and head coach Darren Erstad trying to get them ready for the Big Ten and hopefully getting into the NCAA, knowing that they need to get that RPI up. But RPI is always better when you're winning, too. But the featured matchup this year, Dave Van Horn brings Arkansas back in to take on Darren Erstad and the Huskers on Tuesday, April 16th, and Wednesday, April 17th, the night afternoon doubleheader.
Erstad promised this, though. When he first came in, he said, we are not going to play the fluff teams. I mean, you looked at Nebraska's baseball schedules when Erstad did come in. We're playing Northern Colorado. We're playing teams, directional state schools.
South Dakota State,
right.
UNK.
Those teams aren't going to get Nebraska ready for the Big Ten. Now, granted, the Big Ten, not exactly the strongest baseball conference in college baseball, but at the same time, you got to play the teams. You got to play Mr. Van Horn and his Arkansas Razorbacks. You got to go out and play these teams. You got to play Florida. You got to go out. I think they played UCLA last year. You have to play these teams to know where you're at, or else you're not going to have much of a coaching point.
They're making the trip to California. They're not playing up at the in Minnesota, where they've played in that Dairy Queen Classic so many times. They're not going down to Texas to play Rice, Texas San Antonio, Texas Pan American, whoever it is, a couple of teams. They are going to Texas to play Texas.
Yeah.
Augie Garrido's staff, that will be their second weekend of the season. They go to California February 15th. They'll play Cal State Bakersfield and USC. Once each, Cal State Fullerton, they're going to play in a doubleheader the Saturday they're out there. The next weekend, Texas. Then the home opener will be the weekend of the girls' state basketball tournament in Lincoln, March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd with New Mexico. Northern Colorado does come in. Then they go to Louisiana Tech. They go to UC Irvine. Irvine came out last year. They go to Cal State Fullerton again. And then the conference schedule rolls in there. So what will be a little exciting is going to Texas, having Arkansas come in, and then the Ameritrade Classic. They will play Creighton on a Friday night, and then they'll have Oklahoma State on Saturday and Rutgers on Sunday, all in Omaha.
And when you're saying all those Cal State and UC schools, people think, oh, fluff teams. These are not fluff teams. If you don't know college baseball, UC Irvine, Cal State, Bakersfield, especially Cal State Fullerton, these are good baseball teams. So Nebraska is definitely going to get tested this year.
Here are the teams that are coming to Lincoln: New Mexico, Northern Colorado. Then they've got a long break from March 6th all the way to March 29th. They will not have a home game. Then the conference season kicks in. They've got Northwestern coming in. They'll have the Creighton game at home. Then Ohio State. Then Arkansas. K-State comes up again. Indiana comes in. And they finish the season at home with Michigan rolling in the final day of the season on May the 18th. The Big Ten tournament up at Minneapolis. Next season, two seasons, it'll be at Warner Park in Omaha. Hey, folks, coming up, we're going to be talking UCLA football with Matt Stevens, analyst for the Bruin Radio Network. And don't forget that the best sort of mattress buys have arrived at Bruce Furniture in Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. Take home a perfect sleeper queen size for only $299, or you can upgrade to iComfort or iSeries models featuring Cool Action Gel Memory Foam. That means you just get in and you're comfortable immediately. Bruce Furniture offering a free standard box spring, or you can save up to $400 on a Serta motion adjustable base. Hurry, the event ends soon. Don't get left out of the best Serta mattress buys at Bruce Furniture, Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance.
Hey, Golic, you know how you've always given me a hard time about my taste for fusion cuisine?
Yeah?
Well, you're about to change your tune.
We've already got like a million different countries' foods to choose from. Why do you need to fusion them?
Look, I'm not getting into that right now. I just wanted to share with you that I've got a fusion food you can't say no to.
Just so you know, my hand is hovering over the no button.
Listen to this. Brats and burgers.
Okay, I'm listening.
Johnsonville has taken the otherwise cylindrical brat you obviously love way too much and shaped it into a 1/3-pound patty that fits perfectly on a hamburger bun. It's the same shape as your average burger, but with way more full, juicy flavor.
Wait, a brat on a burger bun? I could do this.
And to keep your palate tantalized, they've got original brat, cheddar, mild Italian, and chorizo flavors.
All delicious.
Yeah, so now you agree with me, fusion cooking is a good idea.
No, Johnsonville burgers are a good idea. Seaweed lasagna is stupid.
Go to Johnsonville.com to read more about the new burgers and other tasty Johnsonville sausage made with only premium cuts of pork since 1945. Johnsonville, sausage is all we do.
Want high school football score updates every Friday? Direct to your mobile? Text Platte River Preps to 90210. Platte River Preps to 90210 today. And be ready for the start of the season. The Platte River Prep Scoreboard Show after the football on Classic Hits 98.9.
We're talking football. Football and more football. Your place for Big Skin is ESPN Radio Superstation.
Let's talk football.
Let's talk football.
1460 and 1550 AM.
Sunshine develops across the area today with a slight chance for a shower. Storm developing late with a high of 92. South winds will increase to 10 to 20. Tonight, there's a slight chance for showers and storms with a low at 56. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 79.
Touching me, touching me.
Is this live from Penn State?
Or Boston?
Yeah.
Or the end of a Lincoln Salt Dogs game. You never know.
I've never been to a Lincoln Salt Dogs game.
They do a little Sweet Caroline, only on victories. Go figure. But
yeah. By the way, couple things from the Huskers. When I was there Saturday, the tunnel walk sucked. All right. And it actually came up in the press box this time around because some people go, oh, who cares, you know, and other people pay attention. But you always like to see what it was. I just don't get – you get the whole off season to be putting together some real cool stuff. And I know it's difficult sometimes to come up with new and fresh ideas, but it was terrible. And maybe Bo doesn't want that. But I don't think that's Bo's call. I don't think he cares. It's bad. Bad. Ain't getting nobody pumped up with that thing.
And I went to school there for 4.5 years, getting this whole broadcasting degree so I could talk to you. And what ended up happening is I found out plenty of how that video, how all the Husker Vision stuff works, and that's it. It's the Husker Vision team that puts that together. It's kind of their pride and joy. So if that's the popular opinion, I myself wasn't at the game, unfortunately. I was stuck in studio.
YouTube it. YouTube it. That's all I can tell you. Because, and a shot and all those guys, they do such a – they're fun. And then you kind of rotate in the kids that are going to college and coming up. But it was short and there wasn't much to it. And maybe that's the deal. Maybe Bo says, I'm not going to be standing here waiting for this thing to get over with. And they had to wait for him to come out of the locker room, by the way, which is unusual. They went deep up into the locker room. Usually they're busting through the doors. No, that wasn't the case. And they had the slow walk out with the flag and – all that's fine, but, you know, if you're going to do it right. That's, I guess, all I'm saying about it. So if you're going to do it right. I don't think there's anything problem. You play the national anthem at the 10-minute mark, go right into that tunnel walk. If it's 3-4 minutes, fine. Just have it keep it going. One other thing I noticed, and I will pay more attention at the Arkansas State game, you kind of touched about the music. Every stadium trying to get to jump around. You got shout with Oregon. You got jump around at Wisconsin. You got fill in the blank with all these schools. I didn't even catch what the song was, but it looked like Nebraska was trying to do something because they were getting into the student section. It wasn't the shoes off or whatever that was. And I'm going, don't just try and invent something here because then you look bogus. Nebraska's got their own history tradition. We don't need a song. You can play music, and if it catches on, fine. But because that's kind of how it's happened everywhere else. We got the tunnel walk. Wisconsin doesn't have tunnel walk.
Name a school that has more than one tradition. You think about Wisconsin, you have jump around. You even go to Lane Stadium, Virginia Tech, Inner Sandman. Yeah. That's an atmosphere. You go to each school, they have their one thing. And Nebraska should be proud to have the tunnel walk. And if it's bad this year, that's unfortunate. But they have that one thing. And soon enough, I'm sure it'll get better. Husker Vision will hear from their pundits this year, and
they'll
turn it around.
They hardly ever change it. Once they start it that year. Now, if something really cool happens or a particular opponent comes in, they'll shove some video in there.
Yeah, they don't change it much throughout the year, but, if it's a down year, remember the year when they had guys jumping out of a plane? I know it was a Callahan year, so people weren't too excited as it was, but I know they were having guys jump out of a plane and people were just like, what's going on? I just know people were confused.
Yeah, that was the one of everybody's going, huh, they're fake jumping out of a plane. What a deal. Don't forget to get your fantasy football questions in for Luke Hoover coming up in our last segment, as you do every Thursday. Email or Facebook them to us. In the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Doug Duda along with Spencer Schubert on this Thursday. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. They are there for you with great new and pre-owned vehicles. Check out what's online at thinkmidway.com. They've got special deals just for the folks that like them on Facebook and are with them online, but they have great deals every day on the lot at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Check out the 2012 Ram 1500 Laramie. It's not even from Wyoming, but it's here. The 2013 Chrysler 200 Limited. How about the Dodge Durango crew or the Jeep Compass Sport? Whether you're looking for something to just have a little fun with or to work with or to be a very reliable vehicle for your family, Midway is the place to be. Also offering 4 complimentary oil changes and 2 tire rotations for the first year you own your vehicle. Free automobile washes for life at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. We've got college football coming your way tonight here on ESPN Radio. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Pittsburgh, one of those teams that really stubbed their toe last week, and it's amazing, Husker fan. It's amazing. It just said Pittsburgh's getting beat, and everybody loves it because that's where Stevie Petey is. And just everybody's going, duh-huh. I mean, you don't know nothing about him, but Peterson's there, so want him to lose everything.
Exactly. And Pittsburgh, I mean, it's a program where when Peterson first got back there, so to speak, they actually were thriving. Basketball was good. Football was good. Back when
he built them up the first time around, and then he came to Lincoln.
Yeah.
And how about Bill Callahan on television getting a win with the Cowboys last night?
You know what? Good for Billy C. And, you know, if he was interviewed by anybody, I know he would say, oh, they're a good football team. They're a good football team, but we made the plays we needed to make to win the game.
College football tripleheader on Saturday. Here's what you can hear on ESPN. Wisconsin and Oregon State kicking off at 2:30. Washington and LSU, the primetime game at 6, followed by Illinois and Arizona State. So bringing you college football action on Saturday. Here's our tripleheader lineup for Sunday. We'll start with the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Atlanta Falcons at noon, the San Francisco 49ers at Green Bay. The marquee matchup of week one will be our 3:15 game, and then the Sunday night game, of course, the Steelers at Broncos, and the first Monday night, you've got that doubleheader now. Cincinnati at Baltimore, San Diego at Oakland. Those are the games we'll have for you. What's your thoughts starting in week two? We've seen the NFL kind of bring Thursday night football in. They're trying to spread it out as much as they can, and there's going to be a Thursday night game, the first Thursday night game, week two, Bears at Packers. Mm-hmm. First of all, I think I made this observation earlier. The Giants and Cowboys just got done playing on a Thursday, or a Wednesday, as this case may be this year. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't one of those teams be playing on Thursday instead of making both teams turn around in 4 days? I don't know, unfair advantage.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like 12 weeks of Thursday night football.
You know, it's something where the NFL is trying to expand their domain even more. I mean, they're the most popular sport. They're right up there with college football. I don't know how you can even think you're going to get the sport to be a bigger, more popular venue, so to speak. But, you know, going to Thursday, I know fantasy football team owners might be a little bit more frustrated having to get those lineups set a little bit earlier in the work week. But, you know, it's something where they're trying to expand their PR. My personal opinion, I'm neutral on it. I'm not really against it. I'm not for it. But I agree with you on this. You shouldn't be having two teams turn around in 4 days and play another game. I think you do need to at least take one of them. Take the Cowboys, take the Giants, take one of those guys, and at least give them a week to prepare for the game, and then give them the week and a half. At least scatter it a little
bit. Get them the off week. Yeah. Get them the off. I mean, a lot of these teams, that's kind of the way it all started. Coming off the bye week, then you would have that extra time and you'd play that Thursday night game on the NFL Network. So we'll see how things pan out. But right now, we are pleased to head out to California and continue our preview of UCLA and Nebraska here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda along with Spencer Schubert, Matt Stevens, radio analyst and former UCLA quarterback, got a Rose Bowl victory under his belt, had a good career with the Bruins, and now he's hoping the Bruins can get things turned around under Coach Jim Moore. And Matt, we welcome you to the Doug and Daddy Show. How are things in sunny California?
Things are going great. In fact, we're looking forward to having Nebraska come to town. It's always good when Big Red is playing out here in Southern California. There's such a following, and it's going to be a real exciting game. Bo Pelini always has a well-coached football team, and Jim Moore seems to have really turned things around for UCLA.
What about the atmosphere? Because we all know how Nebraska travels. We're seeing that we're going to have fireworks at the game and we're going to have giveaways at the game. And Nebraska fans, all they know is football. There's a lot more going on a September Saturday in Los Angeles than going to a UCLA game. What are you expecting on Saturday for attendance, for fans being fired up, just for a general atmosphere?
Well, you know, after the Rice game, I think UCLA fans were very pleased with the product on the field. And they've been reading about Jim Moore's fall camp when they were out in San Bernardino practicing in the heat. They've seen, you know, some very good young talent on this football team, and also a team that's well disciplined. Against Rice, you know, there were a few penalties, but you know, the team tackled hard. You know, they were in the right position, maintained leverage on defense. So I expect a pretty good crowd, because UCLA fans are all of a sudden noticing that Jim Mora, you know, has a good product, like I said.
Matt, everybody's picking this game as kind of the upset special. A lot of national pundits are saying UCLA is going to go in and get this win. What's your thoughts on that? And do you think that maybe puts a little extra pressure on UCLA being at home and having that upset pick for them?
Well, the national pundits, I don't know what they're thinking right there. You know, this is a very good Nebraska football team, and that would be quite an upset for UCLA, to tell you the truth, because UCLA is very young. They're going to start three freshmen on the offensive line, a redshirt freshman quarterback, all new coaches. You know, there's only one assistant coach that Jim Mora retained. And for Bo Pelini to come in here, you know, with a very experienced team, Taylor Martinez with the hot hand, and for UCLA to get an upset, you know, I'd be pretty surprised. I don't know what the national pundits are talking about, to tell you the truth.
Maybe there just aren't that many other games to choose from here.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, I was talking to my buddy about Nebraska, and you know, it's just such a solid team. And every time you play against a Bo Pelini defense, they're well disciplined. You know, everybody's big. You know, two big tackles on offense. I mean, this is quite a task for UCLA.
They obviously looked good offensively against Rice, and again, albeit it is Rice. What are we looking at here? How good is this team with Franklin there? And talk about the offense, what we expect to see on Saturday night.
Noel Mazzoni is the new offensive coordinator. He came in from Arizona State, and what he likes to do is have a bunch of receivers to the wide side of the field, and he'll motion an F-back and try to spread a team out horizontally. And what that does, it would create throwing and running lanes for the quarterback to recognize, and he can count. It's a pretty simple offense, and it's good for Brett Hundley, being a redshirt freshman. There's only going to be about 35, 40 plays, and within those plays, there's about three or four options. So it's an offense that Brett Hundley already understands, even though he's only been in it for a year. And Noel Mazzoni was very effective in making some easy pass plays and easy throws for Brett Hundley, where he didn't have to progress through a pattern. You know, it was just a one-shot deal, swing routes, flat routes to the tight end and over the middle. So there's not a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And Jonathan Franklin, you know, we expect UCLA fans for him to have a big game. What was the big surprise was the offensive line. There were some gaping holes in that Rice defense where Franklin didn't even get touched until about 50 yards downfield. So that was a surprise, but it is Rice, and it's not Nebraska. So, you know, it's a different story this Saturday.
Matt, one thing I wanted to bring up, excuse me, is the NFL coach aspect. You know, you've seen it. Some places go well, but those are more former college coaches. Nick Saban coming back. He's doing all right. Petrino was doing all right at Arkansas before all of his problems. How do you think Jim Mora, all in all, will do? Obviously a great start against Rice. You think that's going to continue, or are you going to see kind of the NFL coach mentality almost hamper him, kind of like it did with Bill Callahan in Nebraska?
Well, I don't think you'd be like Petrino and get on a motorcycle with somebody on the back. But, you know, everybody talked about that. Jim Mora, because he has that, he has an NFL coaching resume, never coached in college, and it's been quite the opposite. He's really identified with the kids. In fact, the kids believe in him, buy into his organizational skills, and this guy eats, drinks, and breathes football. I mean, that's all he's done all his life, and he's excited to be in college football. I mean, he really has liked the, you know, what he's seen so far about college, going out and recruiting. And the big thing for Jim Mora, he went out and he got some of the best assistants that had Southern California ties. They played high school football in Southern California, so they know the area, and they were able to go out, and this recruiting class was really good. Some of the freshmen are, in fact, are going to be able to play in this football game. So Jim Mora is not this NFL guy that can't coach in college. In fact, I even think he's more suited for college football.
Matt Stevens joins us. He is the radio analyst for the UCLA Bruin Network on the Doug and Daddy Show. Can Brett Hundley, your quarterback, get the ball down the field? That seems to be the biggest concern from Husker Nation after the week one, is that maybe there's some room down the field against the Husker secondary.
You know, Brett Hundley is going to be a star at UCLA. He is a gigantic kid. He's 6'3" and a half. He's 230. He runs a low 4.6, gigantic hands. He wears a size 16 shoe. He's a smart kid. And I'm telling you, I mean, he's going to be a real good player. And his dad was a running back at the University of Arizona. So he's had football in his family. He's very well-spoken and has a presence about him. And it wasn't so much that all these skills were off the chart that he got the starting role, is that the entire team, seniors on down, believe in him. He's a natural leader. And I think Brett Hundley can do just about anything he wants. He's got, like I said, a quick release, and he can throw the ball about 70 yards. So if Brett Hundley has his confidence going, which he did in the second half of that Rice game, you know, he's going to be very tough to stop.
Well, speaking of big boys, and I hope I get the name right here, but Joseph Faria is a big old boy. Is that his best attribute, or is he more than just a tall 6'7 kid?
Yeah, it's Fourier. That's what they call him. And he is 6'8", and he is no shorter than 6'8", and he's about 260 pounds. He was hampered by injuries during fall camp. We didn't know how much he was going to play in the first game, and, of course, you know, he got in there, and he's already Brett Hundley's favorite target, and why not? He knows how to use his body really well for a 6'8 guy. He can absorb shots, which is unusual for a tall man. And, you know, I think Joe Fourier is going to be playing on Sunday. We're going to see him in the NFL. So, you know, over the middle or in the flat seam routes, watch for Hundley, looking for the big tight end of UCLA.
Matt, obviously a big weekend for UCLA. Let's talk about the Pac-12 as a whole. I mean, you have, excuse me, you have Washington taking on LSU. You have Oregon State taking on Wisconsin. You have UCLA taking on Nebraska. How big of a weekend is this for the conference of the Pac-12?
You know, it's going to be a real barometer test for the Pac-12. And right now, you know, in my opinion, I think the Pac-12 is a little bit down. You know, you have USC that's on top of the mountain. They have five All-Americans. I mean, some conferences don't even have five All-Americans. So USC is definitely the team to beat. And then the newcomer, Utah, under Kyle Whittingham. He has a very good team this year. Oregon, of course, is reloading. But they got a redshirt freshman quarterback, all that team speed. And then, of course, Stanford has to replace Andrew Luck and a bunch of first-round draft picks. I think Washington's going to have a tough task at hand. You know, even competing against LSU, because they're going down into the bayou to play into that heat. Les Miles always has a good football team, and the problem there is defense. You know, they had to replace Nick Holt, the defensive coordinator, with Justin Wilcox, and then Oregon State's going against Wisconsin and Monty Ball. Oregon State was the worst defense against the rush last year in the Pac-12, so that could be a bloodbath.
Just another minute here with UCLA analyst Matt Stevens. Matt, what about the defense? It would seem going into this game, everybody's fired up about the offense. A couple of our Nebraska analysts yesterday at our Husker lunch were talking about a 45-31 type of ball game. Give me some UCLA D.
You know, the strong part about the UCLA defense is the defensive line. In fact, they got a true freshman that is 6'5", 350 pounds, Ellis McCarthy. And he had some playing time in the Rice game. So, and then at linebacker, Eric Kendricks. He's the brother of Michael Kendricks, who was at Cal, the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. Jim Morris says he is probably the only guy on the football team that can play in the NFL right now. The big question mark is going to be, I think, in the secondary. UCLA has some tall, fast corners, but they're probably not as tough against the run. They need to get off blocks, and that's what Nebraska's so good at that wide receiver position is blocking. And then the safety position is a little bit thin. Tevin McDonald is the starting safety. He's the brother of TJ McDonald, who is the All-American at USC. So he's a pretty good player, but they rotate guys in and out of that strong safety position. So it's going to be a true test. I mean, Taylor Martinez, you know, he can escape. He's all of a sudden now a thrower. You know, it's the worst time in the world for him to become a thrower for UCLA fans, because that was quite a clinic he put on against Southern Mississippi.
Well, and as we mentioned at the top of the show, some obviously Nebraska always has some California kids, and one of the reasons they try to get out there to play a UCLA or a Cal or a USC is to try and help them in recruiting a little bit. Big picture, Matt, again, listening to a couple national analysts saying if you guys can upset Nebraska this weekend, a chance to get off to a 6-0 start, which would make Jim Mora a star with Houston struggling and then the tougher part of the conference towards the end of your schedule.
This is definitely the game that UCLA circled on the schedule. If they can upset Nebraska, that's going to catapult them just because of the schedule itself. UCLA is going to have two more home games after that. Then they go on the road against Cal in Colorado, and Cal just lost at home to Nevada. So UCLA is going to be able to get off to a good start. Is it going to be an undefeated start? Well, we'll find out on Saturday.
Matt, any other nuggets that Husker fans need to know as they travel out there and get ready for this game?
You know, there's a golf course that surrounds the Rose Bowl. I hope all those Nebraska fans get there early. You can't play any golf, but you can bring a football and a frisbee and have a good time on a nice sunny day.
Well, it should be a great, great contest, and we appreciate you giving us some time, Matt. We look forward to you guys coming out next year and look forward to a good game Saturday night.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Take care. Matt Stevens, analyst, former UCLA quarterback with the Bruins Radio Network, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug, due to Spencer Schubert on today's program. Spencer, it just comes down to whose defense gets better in a week. I think it's Nebraska's.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't think Bo Pelini's going to allow that defense to look the way it did against Southern Miss 2 weeks in a row. UCLA is going to have a good offense. They will score. They might even score 20 points like Southern Miss did, but that's going to be a better defense, allowing 20 points to UCLA than allowing 20 points to a brand new Southern Miss offense. So don't really look at the points, look at the plays, and that's going to be the important thing. Are they going to give up big plays? They did that against Southern Miss a little bit. UCLA, if they can contain that offense, obviously they did pretty darn well against Rice, and we'll see what that translates to once you start playing big-time football like UCLA is going to see here Saturday night.
Well, and you also look at a game like this, you always got to talk about the turnovers, but if you anticipate a high-scoring game, no 17 or 21-point lead may be safe. I know Nebraska back in the day with Steve Taylor got out there and got just turned it over so much in the first half and about made a whale of a comeback. But Nebraska playing out in Los Angeles in the Rose Bowl. I know fans have already boarded planes today to head out there and enjoy what should be a great weekend. USC was fun. Wish we could be on this UCLA trip, but to all the Husker fans, should be a good time out there.
And this is going to be kind of a comparison, at least for me personally, to the Washington game when the team went out and played Washington. They came out, and Nebraska's going to view this as a big game. It might not necessarily be big on the national scale. I mean, it's on TV. It's on Fox. People are going to be able to see this thing. But it's a big game to Nebraska. It's a big game to a lot of the California natives, one of them being that starting quarterback in Taylor Martinez. So it's going to be important for them to come out and come out strong, and I think they will.
More pressure, obviously, on the favored team here because Nebraska is going to go through a stretch here of where this would just ruin the season. And for UCLA, it won't. I mean, this is a team that even if they lose Nebraska, you can start 5-1, and you can't say that for Big Red with Wisconsin and Ohio State looming in weeks 5 and 6.
And if you leave Rex Burkhead out of this game, which right now that's still up on the air. We don't know if he's flying down with the team or not even. If he's not in this game, you leave him out the next 2 weeks as well. No offense to the other teams are playing, Arkansas State, Gus Malzahn, and Idaho State. But those are games that are going to be wins for Nebraska. There's really not beating around the bush. If Arkansas State or Idaho State want to put that on their bulletin board, go ahead.
Yeah, they just got shellacked this weekend as well, both of them. Of course, now Arkansas State playing Oregon, so you can expect that happening. So we'll see what happens. I don't expect Burkhead to play.
No.
I expect him to be there.
Yeah,
even though the travel roster, that's a iffy thing, but I expect him to be there. I just don't expect him to play.
They might even put him in pads just to get UCLA thinking, not knowing what's going on. Maybe they'll put him in the backfield once or twice and tell him to stand still. You know, it's one of those things that they can use number 22 as a ploy if they want to.
We'll take a break. When we come back, your fantasy football questions for Luke Hoover of RotoWire, and we'll be back where our guests are taken care of by our friends at BK Burger King, located in Lexington, Cozad, North Platte, and two locations in Kearney. Try out some of the new stuff on the menu. It is so good. Maybe on a warm day, a little chicken, apple, and cranberry garden fresh salad for lunch. It's all there at BK.
Hey, it's Cole. Looking to add some style to your home this fall? New blinds or shades can transform the look of a single room or an entire home. Come into Lowe's and take advantage of 25% off all Allen and Roth special order cellular shades and leveler special order full wood blinds. Plus, we can install them for you. Our basic installation labor is just $99 for up to 9 blinds or shades. Lowe's, never stop improving. $99 includes basic installation labor only. Restrictions and additional charges may apply. See or call store for details.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit qualification. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender.
There we were, me and my buddies at our favorite hangout, Cunningham's Journal. This time, we're sitting out in the courtyard, which is pretty cool. It's like you're sitting out in the tropics, got the palm trees, beachy scene, bunch of TVs to watch sports, and of course, live entertainment every week. When all of a sudden, I had an urge to get a frozen margarita. Of course, my friends just laughed. If you're looking for a good place to hang out this summer, eat good food, or even have a margarita, Cunningham's Journal in the courtyard is the place to be in downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Losing an irrigation system this summer could be costly. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, they offer replacement cost coverage for center pivot irrigation systems on qualifying units. Replacement cost coverage allows you to purchase a new system or parts, subject to policy provisions and reducing the need to search for outdated parts or to wait for used systems to become available. To learn more, contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunshine develops across the area today with a slight chance for a shower. Storm developing late with a high of 92. South winds will increase to 10 to 20. Tonight, there's a slight chance for showers and storms with a low at 56. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 79.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda along with Spencer Schubert. Don't forget to get on and vote on our ESPN poll question. We went through all of the divisions in the NFL, and the last one, who is your pick to win the NFC South? 58% Saints, 42% Carolina?
Wow.
I took Atlanta. I took Atlanta.
Going with Matty Ryan, Matty Ice,
I took
huh?
Atlanta. Oh, yeah. Why not? That's the Vogue pick, I believe. Let's see. Luke Hoover, he decided that he would take the Saints. I believe is who he took in there. So nothing wrong with that pick. How about ESPNSuperstation.com's poll question today? Which of these top 25 teams is most likely to be upset in week two? And you didn't even put Nebraska down, Jeff. Way to go. Georgia at Missouri. Wisconsin at Oregon State. Kansas State hosting Miami of Florida. Notre Dame taking on Purdue. Florida at Texas A&M. Florida was sluggish last week, but Texas A&M doesn't have a game under their belt. I would love to pick that one and see the Aggies win. Kansas State hosting Miami of Florida. Some of the national guys are saying Purdue's got a shot at Notre Dame. I'm going to take Florida coming to Texas A&M. What do you think?
You know, looking at the games, I got to go maybe Kansas State and Miami. You know, Kansas State's a team that they've surprised me. Let's just say that. They've surprised me. Bill Snyder, I thought, was going to come back and make the team 500. He's gotten this team to upper-tier bowl games. Miami, Florida, though, they have the athletes. I know they've had the whole Shapiro incidents going on right now, and who knows what that does to a team, but that I'll take Miami against Kansas State.
This is the fun time of the year because we all get to make our predictions, and on Monday morning we get to go, what in the hell were we thinking? Luke Hoover from RotoWire picked the Dallas Cowboys to go 5-11. How you feeling, Luke? Welcome back.
Not as good maybe after last night, but you know what? I still feel like that game wasn't completely indicative of either team's, you know, true abilities. The Cowboys you know, were hurting themselves quite a bit with penalties, and the Giants just weren't able to capitalize on that like they should have been. And I think that'll change a little bit going forward. Dallas is probably a better team than 5-11. I didn't give them enough credit, but you know, at the same time, you know, a lot could change in the coming weeks. So.
Spencer is going to give his Super Bowl prediction on the show today. We did ours yesterday. I took Baltimore. I think Randy took Green Bay. And, of course, Luke now, he has Green Bay over Denver, which I know a couple of the national ESPN guys went with Green Bay over Denver. When you look at your fantasy team, Luke, how many times do you say, I'm just picking guys off the Patriots, the Packers, the teams that are going to win double digits when you're making your selections? Or do you just say, I don't care. If Adrian Peterson's healthy and the Vikings go 4-12, that's still good enough for me?
You know what? I'm generally going to take you know, the best talent that I see, regardless of the team. But it certainly doesn't hurt to stack, you know, a handful of players from some of these better offenses, New England, New Orleans, you know, Green Bay, Denver, a passing attack with a Peyton Manning. You know, a really strong run game like Kansas City's. It definitely can enhance your team, but I don't think it's no fault strategy exactly.
Well, let's get to our questions. What do you think, Spence? Yeah. Let's get to the emails again, folks. If you have a question, Facebook us or email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. What's first?
Merritt wants to know, he needs to play one of these wide receivers, Antonio Brown, Reggie Wayne, or Lance Moore. Who do you got?
Well, it's a tough call. I would lean towards Reggie Wayne, believe it or not, because he's going to be the go-to for Andrew Luck, and I think Indy's going to end up passing quite a bit this season. Their defense is not strong enough to slow down a lot of opposing offenses, and in this case, Chicago's got a pretty strong offense. I think they're building a quick lead and forcing the Colts to pass. I like Antonio Brown a lot, but Champ Bailey, even at his age, is still one of the best cover corners, and I think he's going to be lined up across from Brown more often than Mike Wallace, so I would go with Wayne.
Andy in Kearney says, here is my fantasy football question. A regular league, non-PPR, who is the best flex option this weekend? Mike Wallace, Beanie Wells, Evan Royster at the flex.
Well, again, you know, I'm not too much of a fan of those two running backs with their matchups. I would lean towards Wallace. Like I said before, I think Brown is going to draw Champ Bailey more. I get that Wallace is, you know, he didn't really play in the preseason. He just came back off that holdout, you know, relatively soon. And at the same time, though, he's got the speed that all it might take is one or two plays for him to give you a good week, whereas Beanie Wells is going to have a lot of competition from Ryan Williams, you know, against a really tough Seattle defense. He's not 100% healthy, I think. He's not quite back to his form. And Royster, you know, he could be the guy for Washington, but that's a complete headache. And until I see a little more clarity in that backfield, I probably wouldn't roll one of those guys out.
And you might have just answered it, but Austin from Kearney wants to know, if you have to go, Peyton Hillis or Evan Royster, which one are you taking?
That's not really a tough one. That's definitely Hillis all the way. Atlanta's got a very high-powered passing attack this year, you know, and to keep them off the field, they're, you know, Kansas City's going to try to run the ball. They actually are going to be without Tom Bailey for a one-game suspension. Their top corner, Brandon Flowers, is looking like he's going to be out, and then Derek Johnson is questionable with an ankle injury. So their defense could be in a bad way this weekend, and they're going to want to keep Matt Ryan and those receivers off the field. So I expect them to pound Peyton Hillis and run Jamaal Charles quite a bit.
Luke Hoover from RotoWire, rotowire.com, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. You can get all the latest news by going to rotowire.com. And Justin from Kearney says, these are my starting running backs, Doug Martin, Matt Forte, Chris Johnson. Should I start Rashad Jennings or Toby Gerhardt over one of these guys?
The answer to that question is a no,
yeah,
in my opinion. You know, they're both really intriguing for this week because of, you know, their stars being either, you know, hurt, or with MJD's case, he's not expected to start. He's going to be the third down back. But, you know, my thought on that is kind of, he comes down on third down, he helps convert, you know, a first down. Maybe they don't pull him off the field right away, and he gets a few extra carries and starts to eat into Jennings' workload. I like Jennings if MJD was not there. But Forte's got a great matchup. Chris Johnson's a must-start every week. And Doug Martin's got a strong matchup as well. And he certainly looked the part and should get quite a few carries this week against Carolina.
Luke, another running back question for you. Mark wants to know, Kevin Smith or D'Angelo Williams as a running back two in a PPR?
Well, being that it's a PPR, Kevin Smith is a fairly safe play. He's going to be the number one there. But I just love D'Angelo Williams' matchup too much if John Stewart sits. So if John Stewart is benched, and you're going to have to pay attention to that leading up to the games. Hopefully they'll announce it earlier than the 1 o'clock start times, because the Carolina-Tampa game is starting after 4 Eastern. So if they haven't announced it by then, I would stick with Kevin Smith. But if John Stewart is going to miss that game, D'Angelo Williams has a slightly better matchup. Tampa Bay's defense was terrible against the run last year.
Time for a few more questions here for Luke Hoover from RotoWire. Sticking with the Carolina theme, he was not a top 10 tight end, but everything last year was talking about Greg Olsen teaming up with Cam Newton and one of his favorite targets. What's just your thoughts about Greg Olsen and his fantasy value?
I think he could be a real steal for a lot of leagues this year, because he didn't get the, you know, the full workload at tight end last year. They still had Jeremy Shockey in there, and Shockey actually had about 60 targets in his own right. You know, and Olsen saw, I think, a little shy of 100. So if he starts to get those targets that went Shockey's way last year, we could be talking about one of the most highly targeted tight ends. They displayed some pretty nice chemistry at times last year, without even having a full offseason. If that improves, you know, after they're in their second season, also could have some really strong numbers. They don't really have a fully established number two wide receiver. Brandon LaFell looks like he could make that jump, but Olsen might wind up as, you know, the number two target for Cam, and that could be, you know, a good chunk of yards and some nice red zone opportunities for him.
All right, Luke, it's time to officially tell us which one of us has the better fantasy football team. I have both rosters.
Oh, no.
I have both rosters. I have an insider. She works at the hospital. Thank you, Lena. But here we go. Doug Duda's team. I'll have you listen to both, and then you just give me your opinion. It's okay if you go with him. I know he's the host of this whole thing. But here we go. Doug's team. Calvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford, Jamal Charles, Adrian Peterson, Mike Wallace, Steve Ridley, Eric Decker, and kicker Nate Kading. He also has the Ravens defense. Now, let's go to my team. We obviously are both in different leagues, but I figured we'll go with the one that I at least had the scoop on. And then this is my NTV league. Here we go. Drew Brees, Darren McFadden, Kevin Smith, Hakeem Nicks, Dez Bryant, Dwayne Bowe, Tony Gonzalez, 49ers D, but I'm starting the Vikings D this week because 49ers have the Packers going on. And kicker Steven Goskowski. Go ahead. Who do you got?
That's easy.
Oh, you know, you guys put me on the spot here. That's a tough call. There's a lot of talent on both of those teams. If Darren McFadden plays 16 games, then maybe it gives you the edge. But that other roster's awfully stacked, I got to say. I particularly like...
He's a politician.
I particularly am high on Stephen Ridley and Eric Decker as breakout players this year. I think Ridley's a top 15 or 20 running back at worst, and he could be top 12. And I think Decker's potentially a top 15 or 12 receiver. You know, that chemistry with Manny's going to be really helpful for him week in and week out. Both rosters are looking pretty darn strong, though, going into week one. You know, a lot of talent on each team.
God, I hope so. I hope so. Reporting live from the Democratic National Convention in North Carolina, it's On the Fence with Luke Hoover. No, Luke, that's great stuff. I want to ask you about the injuries going into this week. He mentioned Adrian Peterson. It doesn't look like he's going to play, and if he does, not much. You've got Starks out at Green Bay. You've got Pierre Thomas maybe not getting a whole lot of touches at New Orleans. The backup to Ridley looks like he's going to be out at New England. Who are some of the other big names, and what's that Washington running back situation going to be? Is it Royster in week one? What's your overall injury update?
Well, you kind of covered a lot of the big names that are going to be out. One name to keep an eye on this weekend, obviously, is Trent Richardson. It's looking more and more like he will suit up, but you know they're probably going to wait up right up until kickoff to really announce that. And again, he's in a similar boat to Peterson. If he plays, how many carries is he going to get? So he's a guy you might want to just steer clear of for this week one as far as starting him. You know, unless you have the opportunity where you have enough talent and you can put him in at your flex if he's going to go, maybe then you roll out Richardson. Aside from him, as far as major injuries, there aren't too many two wide receivers right now. A guy I liked in the preseason was Austin Collie, and he's practicing fully despite that concussion issue he suffered in the preseason, so he looks like he's a go for this week. Checking in here real quick, Michael Vick was not on the injury report, so he should be 100% good to go. Andre Johnson has been practicing fully. He's been dealing with a rib injury, so I like his chances. Actually, Marshawn Lynch is a name to keep an eye on as well. He might not. He's going to be kind of a game-time decision, I think, with back spasms. He has not been practicing, and if he doesn't these next two games, I could see them maybe ruling him out early and giving Robert Turbin, the rookie, all the carries there for Seattle, the majority of them. But that is one name to keep an eye on is Lynch. You know what? By now, I've forgotten the second part of that question.
That's okay. You covered most of it. Royster gets the start at running back for Washington.
Right. Okay. Royster is slated as the number one. That does not mean he's getting the start, though, in my eyes. Mike Shanahan, yeah. You know, it's a circus out there with his running backs. And Alfred Morris looked awfully good in the preseason. He's listed as the number three, but I could completely see him leading the team in carries against New Orleans. I think it'll come down to, you know, who's looking the healthiest and the sharpest in the practices. And unfortunately, he doesn't, you know, divulge that information to us enough. So it's anybody's guess. I think Royster, if you had to play one of the three, is probably the safest just from the standpoint that he is listed at the top of the depth chart right now, and he looked good, you know, both late in last year and in the preseason. But I would wait a week on Washington running backs.
Luke, some people might want to know this as well. Barring no injuries, if the guy's 100% healthy going in, is there any top-tier players that you wouldn't start? You know, I kind of brought up not starting the 49ers defense. They're the number one defense in the league. They're taking on the Packers. I'm not going to start them against Aaron Rodgers. Is there any other situations like that where you might have drafted a guy high, but you might want to sit him here week one?
There always are going to be situations like that every week. You know, you mentioned that Packers 49ers game, and you want to pay attention to who the 49ers are playing every week because you really don't want to play a running back against them unless he is, you know, one of the absolute stud running backs, a guy you can't bench. I don't know how highly Cedric Benson was taken in drafts this year, but there's some, you know, good expectations for him in that Green Bay backfield. He's probably going to be the feature back. I wouldn't touch him this week. You know, going against San Fran, that's not a particularly good matchup for him. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis was probably taken somewhat highly in a number of leagues, being that he's looking like he's in a feature role. And going against Baltimore, he's coming off a lingering foot issue that, you know, held him out a lot of the preseason. I wouldn't like him this week going forward probably, and maybe in his rematch with Baltimore, you have to get a feel for how he does this week. But those are two names I steer clear of.
Last minute with Luke Hoover, two quick questions. First, all right, every league, and I'm in, I think every league I'm in, has that guy that's already on the waiver wire trying to pick up Ogletree from Dallas last night. What do you do? I mean, that's a one-hit wonder last night, isn't it? And unless somebody goes down on your team from injury, what do you do about jumping on waivers? Because it seems like guys hit that waiver wire the first week or two and think that they've snapped everybody up.
Well, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing to take a shot if you have a, you know, a spot on your bench where it's a player you're not so confident in, or it's kind of a, you know, an unexperienced flyer or something like that sitting on the bottom of your bench. Kevin Ogletree did look really good. Sure, it was his career game, and maybe it was a fluke, but he did a lot of things well that Laurent Robinson did well to kind of make a name for himself in Dallas last year. And if Miles Austin's hamstring injury acts up again, now he looked certainly very healthy last night, but it was you know, nagging problem from last year. He heard it twice on two separate occasions, bothered him all preseason. If he comes out again for any length of time, Kevin Ogletree is going to be a really strong player. Tony Romo seemed to have pretty good chemistry with him. I don't think it was a exact fluke, but again, the opportunity might not be there like it was last night. Last night was likely the best game he sees in the entire season, but he should still be productive and could crack a deeper league, you know, crack your lineup on bye weeks.
Okay, last question. Randy Moss, your thoughts on what he is worth value-wise on a fantasy team, standard or PPR. What do you think?
I'm still formulating those thoughts, actually. You know what? I'm kind of going back and forth because I just actually read this last night. You know, and Matthew Berry was saying it as well. There's starting to be some speculation where the 49ers are playing possum with Moss all preseason. Is he really, you know, back to 100%? And they just kind of held him back a little in the preseason, so we couldn't see that. They may let him loose against Green Bay. In a PPR league, I don't like him. In a standard format, I think he's worth having on your team as your fourth or fifth wide receiver because he could jump up and climb into that starting lineup for you every week.
All righty, Luke, hey, we appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, and we'll see how we do in week one. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Luke. Luke Hoover, RotoWire, rotowire.com. His playoff teams, by the way, he has the Packers, the Niners, the Saints, and the Giants winning their divisions. And then his wild card were the Bears and the Seahawks. In the AFC, he had New England being the top seed, followed by Pittsburgh, Denver, and Houston. And then his wild cards were Baltimore and Kansas City.
Hey, I like that.
And he's got Green Bay over Denver in the Super Bowl. We'll hear who Spencer Schubert has in the Super Bowl when we wrap it up on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
We're fashion retailers.
Wine wholesalers.
A surgical implant company.
We are mid-size businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners.
To fuel innovation and a new economy.
And to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-size businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at ibm.com/engines.
Domino's 5.99 carry-out pizza deal. So amazing, we can't even talk about it on the air.
Sure we can. It's our large inspired pizza with any two toppings for just $5.99.
It's a price so low, we can't even say it out loud.
I just did. It's $5.99.
We're not even allowed to think about this limited time offer.
Is this how you really talk?
Yes.
Backed by popular demand, it's Domino's 5.99 carry-out pizza deal. This week only. Get a large pizza with any two toppings of your choice for just $5.99. Now through September 9th, only at Domino's.
Carry-out only. Deep dish may be extra. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Hey, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, Hastings' hometown Husker headquarters. Whenever the Huskers play, you get our 24-ounce big cans of beer for just $2.50 all day, every game day. And with NFL Sunday Ticket and ESPN Game Day, you have a front-row seat for every NFL and college game. So bring the family and join your fellow Husker fans and watch the Huskers on the biggest HD TV wall in town, HK Sports Bar and Grill. Remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better offers and bigger discounts.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, wrapping up this Thursday. Jim Langan's going to be in with our Pigskin Pick'em. He'll be our co-host tomorrow. We'll do Pigskin Pick'em again, brought to you by Big Daddy's Deli, Cunningham's Journal and Loft, and a whole lot more. Don't forget, we're back at Cunningham's next Wednesday for our next Husker Lunch with Sean Callahan, recapping UCLA, looking ahead to Arkansas State. And again, when you come in, folks, a chance to win a 70-inch television, which is on display from Russell's Television at Cunningham's, and a Super Bowl party, and so many more great ideas. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com. Find out how you can get registered. You can also get registered every time you go into Cunningham's, Russell's, or our Husker Lunch. All right, Spencer, your Super Bowl prediction.
Got to go with the New England Patriots. I know a lot of people say just take the easy one, but Tom Brady, the guy's healthy. And when Tom Brady's healthy, it doesn't matter really who his receivers are. He makes anybody he wants to look good. Chad Ochocinco currently doesn't have a football team. He looked all right in New England. Randy Moss looked really well in New England. Green Bay, obviously the other popular pick, maybe to take on the Patriots in the Super Bowl. One of those teams that when I can see them lose, granted to the defending Super Bowl champs, in the playoffs. Don't get me wrong, the Giants do what they do in the playoffs. But to see Green Bay do what they did last year and lose in the first round, I can't take a team that can do that. So I got to go with the Patriots. Now, don't get me wrong, the Patriots get to the game and then lose. But right now I got to go with Bill. Bill Belichick and the Patriots. There you go.
And who are they playing? It's not going to be Green Bay, or it is?
I'll take Green Bay. I think Green Bay will get there this year. They're going to have a lot of anger after losing to the Giants. I can't see them losing to the Giants again this year, at least in the playoffs, maybe in the season. You never know. But
that's one of my bold predictions. Packers may not make playoffs.
Really? Aaron Rodgers, as long as he stays. I mean, this is all barring the guys on these teams stay healthy. Obviously, the quarterback's got to stay healthy for both of these teams. But if Aaron Rodgers is healthy and Tom Brady's healthy, I don't see many teams that could take them out.
And I yesterday selected Baltimore to defeat the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Defense wins championships.
I don't see many people picking the Niners.
Defense wins championships. Two of the best defensive teams in the league.
Right,
we'll see. We'll see.
Right. I'm usually a year away. I had Flacco last year. I think I took Baltimore to win it last year, too. So why not pick him again? And there they are, running out.
Just on going.
And now, unfortunately, Art Modell has passed away. But, you know, now that's going to be all over their uniforms and just another reason to see if Baltimore can get it done. We want to thank Luke Hoover, our fantasy football expert from RotoWire, for joining us on the program today. Also, Matt Stevens, UCLA radio analyst, for breaking down the Bruins. A whole lot more coming up tomorrow as we get ready for another weekend of college football with Pigskin Pick'em. Also, we'll be recapping some great high school volleyball, college action going on for UNK and Hastings. Spencer Schubert, thanks for being in.
Always a pleasure.
Jim Langan fills the seat tomorrow. Have a great Thursday, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.